Two or three weeks ago, we started a series of lessons on 10 most important teachings in the Bible. 10 most important teachings in the Bible. And I don't want to say they are the top 10, but they pretty close. 10 things that you ought to know that's in the Bible. 10 teachings that you ought to understand. It has taken us a few weeks to get through some of them. But anyway, you've had 2 weeks to practice all by yourself, and I'm sure that you went over them every day so that you would remember them. For those people who've not been here, let's just tell them what those 10 are. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Jews, the law, Jesus, the cross, salvation in eternity. Okay, let's do it again. Creation, fall, flood, nations, the Jews, the law, Jesus, the cross. All right. We've talked about each one of them kind of briefly, all the way down through Jesus. And so Jesus was God in the flesh. The scripture says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Then in verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was God in the flesh. He came to die for our sins. And so I divided in the 10 top, I put Jesus and I also listed the cross because I wanted to talk especially about what He did in His death. He was born of a virgin. We celebrate that at Christmas. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points like as we are, but He never sinned. And He died on the cross as a substitute for us. He died on the cross as a substitute for us. And so I want you to understand that what happened on the cross made all the difference as far as our relationship with God. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So when Jesus died on the cross, He took our sins upon Himself. He took our sins upon Himself. He paid the penalty that you and I owe. He paid the penalty that we cannot pay. He took the punishment for our sins. And so the cross is a symbol of what Christianity is. The cross is a symbol of what Christianity is, not because that's the only thing Jesus did, but that was the thing that makes it so important to us, that He died for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins upon Himself. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So the cross is central to everything that we do. Jesus is central to all of history. Jesus is central in our life. And in the life of Jesus, the cross becomes the symbol of what He did for us. The reason we partake of communion is we remember what He did on the cross, that He took the punishment for our sins. He gave His body and His blood was shed for our sins. He took the punishment. He took the punishment that we deserved. And so the next one, after creation, fall, flood, nations, Jews, law, Jesus, the cross, what's the next one? Salvation, okay. You got to go through all of them before you can get there? Me too. Okay. Salvation. Now, as far as the Bible is concerned, these 10 things are top 10 teachings of the Bible, I think, in my view. But as far as you personally are concerned, salvation is the most important one. From your perspective, from a selfish perspective, salvation is the most important one. Without Jesus, you're lost. If Jesus had not died on the cross, every one of us would be lost. In fact, let me just share with you the simplest explanation I know of. I know some teachers enjoy the deep stuff, really, really intelligent stuff. I'm not intelligent, so I have a little problem with that. You know, I gaily say I went to hear a preacher preach, and he started over my head and went up from there. You ever been there? You know, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I have a tendency to go off the road on the other side, sort of. I like to simplify everything. And the simplest explanation of salvation I've ever run across is called the four spiritual laws. I believe it's based on what the Bible teaches, but I can't turn to a passage and say, here it is, right here, it says the four spiritual laws right here. It's not in there like that. But all four spiritual laws are based on what Scriptures teach. The first one is that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only exception to that is Jesus. Everybody else of accountable age has sinned. No exception. It is true that some people live better lives than others. Some people sin more than others. But the fact is, all of us are sinners. No exceptions. All of us are sinners. That means you are a sinner. You are a sinner. The best person you know is a sinner. So everybody sins. And then the Bible teaches that the result of sin is separation from God. So the first law is you are a sinner. The second law is your sin separates you from God. The wages of sin is death. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. Your iniquities, your sin have separated you from God. The word death in the Bible, the word death means separation. Physical death is the separation of my spirit from my body. Spiritual death, or the second death, is the separation of my spirit from God. Why do I die? Sin. And all of us are sinners. So if the story ended there, we would all be in trouble. If the story ended there, we would all be in trouble. Because we are all sinners, and sin separates us from God. But that's not the end of the story. The third law is that God loves you, and Jesus died for you. God loves you, and Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. God loves you. God loves you. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you have sinned, God loves you. And Jesus came and died for you. We talked about that under the cross part, that He took the punishment for your sins. He took the punishment for your sins. And since He took the punishment for your sins, you don't have to take the punishment for your sins. Since He took the punishment for your sins, you don't have to take the punishment for your sins. He died on the cross for your sins. And you can be saved because Jesus died for you. All of us are sinners. Result of sin is separation from God. God loves you and Jesus died for you. In order for you to be saved, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In order for you to be saved, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It doesn't do any good if your mama was a Christian. It doesn't do any good if your granddaddy was a preacher. It doesn't do any good if your best friend is a godly person. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to do it. I believe God in His sovereignty gave us free will, and we have the ability to either accept Him or reject Him. We can accept Him or reject Him. But there's no third alternative. There's no third alternative. Every one of you here today, every one of you, are either saved or lost. One or the other. There's no exceptions. There's no limbo out there, and you say, well, I'm partly saved, I'm maybe saved, or I hope I'm saved. No, you're either saved or you're lost, one or the other. And the difference is whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or not. The difference is not whether you are a good person or not. The difference is whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your personal Savior. You say, well, Lee, how do I do that? Well, you need to do that the way the Bible says to do that. You don't need to come up with your own method. You know, and some people get mad at me occasionally because I say, well, you need to do it like the Bible says do it. Let me. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but let me just do that in a way. Most of the preachers I listen to, and preachers that I respect and love and learn from and all that kind of stuff, most of the books in my library, when you ask, what must I do to be saved? They explain to you that you're a sinner, result of your sin, separation from God. God loves you and Jesus died for you. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then they say, what you need to do is to pray and ask Jesus into your heart. I've been studying this Bible for 30 years. There's a lot in there I don't know, but I can't find it one time. Not one time in which somebody in the Bible prayed and invited Jesus into their heart. Not one time. You say, but Lee, all these preachers say that. Yep, they do. Well, Lee, do you think it's wrong to pray? No, I don't think it's wrong to pray. Do you think it's wrong to have Jesus in your heart? No, I don't think it's wrong to have Jesus in your heart. I just think if we're going to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we need to do it the way the Bible says do it. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I don't know how many times I've heard people say you're saved by faith only. That one verse by itself wipes out that idea. That one verse says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So what right have I got to go around telling people all you got to do is believe in your heart? When God says you got to believe in your heart and you got to confess. You know what He said? If you don't believe it, look it up. Romans 10:9. At least two requirements right there in one verse. And so I think we need to do it the way the Bible says do it. People say, well, you have a bad attitude toward it. I don't have a bad attitude. I really respect a lot of people who teach that I can pray and invite Jesus into my heart. I love them and I learn from them. I don't have a problem with them. I just, whenever man says something and God says something, I've decided I'm going to accept what God said. I'm just going to accept what God says. That's what He said, so I think that's what He meant. Lee, how about if everybody in the world believes the other way? I'm still going to accept what God said. And God said that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The first time the gospel was ever preached, and let me explain what I mean by the first time the gospel was ever preached. The word gospel means good news, and there was some good news before this, but this is the first time that the gospel was preached after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, after Jesus had died on the cross and took the punishment for our sins. This is the first time that we have a record of in the Bible of the gospel being preached. And the sermon was about Jesus. And at the end of that sermon, Leonard mentioned it in his testimony, that he ended that sermon by saying, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So you need to believe in Jesus. And they responded by saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So not only do I need to believe in Jesus, not only do I need to confess Jesus, I need to repent of my sins, and I need to be baptized. I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And somebody said, well, Lee, John 3:16 don't say anything about baptism. That's true. Acts 2:38 don't say anything about faith either. I need to take what the whole Bible says. I need to take the whole New Testament and go by what it says. And I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in the way the Bible prescribes. So salvation, your personal salvation, that you are saved. Now, there are always people that I wish I could save them long distance. I wish I could just say, okay, I want that person to be saved. Let's let him be saved. He's got to do it. I can't do it for him. He's got to do it. He's got to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's just a requirement. That's what God said he got to do. And so that's what he's got to do. And he has the free will to do that. He has the right. You have the right. You have the right to do that. And I just encourage you and try my best to motivate you and try to persuade you that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then you need to be faithful to him all of your life. You need to be faithful to him all of your life. The 10 top teachings of the Bible: creation, fall, flood, nations, Jews, the law, Jesus, the cross, salvation, and eternity. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the scripture we read for our devotional time. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. When the Bible was written, there were no chapter and verse divisions. They put them in hundreds of years later. There was no chapter and verse division. So this passage from 2014 through 21:4, to me contains the saddest words in the Bible and the happiest words in the Bible. The saddest words in the Bible and the happiest words in the Bible. In 6 verses. Revelation 20:14, and death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now I want you to stop right there and just look back up into verse 10, Revelation 20:10, and you see something about the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also. They'd been there 1,000 years. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now go back to verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. If his name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, if he's never accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he will be thrown to the lake of fire. He will experience the second death. And if Revelation 20:10 means anything, he's going to be punished day and night forever and ever. Doesn't get much sadder than that. Doesn't get much sadder than that. John continues and says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Listen to the next verse. We went from the saddest verse, Revelation 20:15. Listen to Revelation 20:4. And he, meaning God, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. So I went from people being punished night and day, forever and ever, to a place where God Himself is going to wipe away every tear. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No more pain. No more suffering. No more difficulties. Eternity is real. Eternity is real. You and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. We may not like to talk about it. We may not even like to think about it. But the fact is, that's the facts. Can't get away from that. And the truth is the truth, whether I accept it or reject it. Whether I believe it or don't believe it, doesn't change it. Doesn't change one thing about it. I can believe with all of my heart, sincerely, 100%, without any question, I can believe that I could go on top of this building and jump off and it wouldn't hurt me. And I don't care how strong my faith was. I don't care how much I believe that. If I jumped off, it would probably hurt me. Right? So my belief is not going to change it. My belief about heaven and hell is not going to change it. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And what I think about it or what you think about it, not going to change it. What I need to do is to learn to love the truth rather than trying to make true what I love. I need to learn to love the truth rather than to make true or try to make true what I love. Top 10 teachings of the Bible. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Jews, the law, Jesus, the cross, salvation, and eternity. You need to understand about them. But then some way, somehow, you need to try to move it from up here to down here. It needs to make a difference in your life. Just knowing it is not enough. Just knowing it is not enough. But making it a part of you. That's just, of the top 10, let's just center on what really is the most important one of all, and that is who Jesus is. Jesus is God in the flesh. Christmas time, we celebrate. And all of us that have studied it any are almost 100% sure Jesus was not born on December 25th. I mean, that's the least likely day of the whole year, nearly, that he would be born. So we know that. But while he was not born on December the 25th, he was born. Right? He did become a man. And so for us Christians, that's what we celebrate. That the God of the universe, God the Son, became a man and was born as a baby. He lived a perfect life. He died as a substitute, taking the punishment for your sins and for my sins. And then he offered to whosoever will, you can have eternal life because of what he did. You can have it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. That's the most important thing in your life, that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, Why don't you do that today? If you'll come forward, we'll take the Bible, and we'll talk about what the Bible says you need to do, that you need to believe in Jesus, that you need to repent, that you need to confess Jesus, that you need to be baptized. We'll help you do that. If you need to do that, if you've never done that, do it today. Don't put it off. Do it now.